We're doing Ein Yaakov. We started learning last week the Mishnah in Tractate Shabbos that discusses how long the seed inside a woman stays alive. And we said that the Mishnah actually gave us something which science today has backed, that you have 3 days after a couple is intimate that the seed inside the woman is alive, and as such, the seed, when it comes out of her, is considered seed, not just a liquid, but rather live seed that comes out of her. And so a woman, as we discussed last week, that has male semen, live semen, come out of her, has to go to mikvah in the days of the Torah. Today, where would it be relevant? I'll tell you. You guys are advanced, I could tell you. Okay. Where is this relevant? It's relevant in that, let's say, a woman we know after she's had her period. So let's say her period takes her 5-6 days till she's clean from her period. Then she checks herself. She sees she's clean. So then 7 days, she'll check herself every morning and afternoon, every morning and evening. And then on the 7th day, she'll go to mikveh, and then the couple is permitted to be intimate. What happens if during those 7 days, on one of those days, some seed comes out of her, some of the male semen from when she was intimate with her husband comes out? So then that disqualifies that day from being one of the 7 clean days. So today, you'd say that shouldn't ever happen, because the last time they could have been intimate was 6 days ago. And we just learned that after 3 days, even if the semen comes out of her, it's not active semen. It's like just any other liquid. It doesn't make her defiled, right? Here's where it's relevant. When people do artificial insemination, so then what are they really doing? They take male sperm and they will inject it into the woman's womb. When will they do that? When she ovulates, right? The woman has 2 ovaries, and an egg comes out of the ovary into the womb, and then you have a 24 to 36 hour period where the egg is alive and you can fertilize it. Sometimes that period is before she goes to mikvah. So it could be that the woman is in the middle of her 7 clean days. She's on day 4, let's say, and then she was trying to get pregnant, so they're going to take some male seed, inject it into her womb, and then part of it will come spilling out. Well, when, right, as we discussed, when it comes spilling out, so technically that seed could disqualify a day of the 7 clean days. So that's where we might have an application of this today. But the Torah says, when you're preparing for receiving the Torah, so the women and the men have to separate for 3 days before the day that Hashem will give the Torah, because the woman should also be pure on that day. They should also be able to listen to Hashem, give over the 10 commandments, and receive the Torah. So that's our Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Minayin, how do we know? That a woman who has semen, male sperm, come out of her on the 3rd day from when she was intimate with her husband, that even on the 3rd day she is still tameh, it still affects her. As the verse says, you have to prepare for the receipt of the Torah for 3 days. Separate, al tigeshu alisha, don't go near your wives, don't be intimate. So that's point number one. Point number two, the Mishnah continues, Minayin shemachitzin tamida b'yom shishi shechal liyot b'shabbat. How do we know that we wash a child in warm water 3 days after his circumcision? If it falls out on Shabbos, you still give him a warm bath. We discussed this, right? Guys, you remember? We discussed this. Shenemal, the verse says, it says in Bereishit that Shimon and Levi, they attacked the people of Shechem on the 3rd day after their circumcision when they were writhing in pain. That's when they attacked and conquered the city. So you see, 3 days after the circumcision, a person is still writhing in pain. We discussed that the Shulchan Aruch says, today, nowadays, we don't have this reality. Nowadays, we don't worry about giving our kids a warm bath 3 days after a circumcision, even if it isn't on Shabbos. But in the days of the Mishnah, this was considered critical. Okay, so Yom Kippur is coming up. On Yom Kippur, we draw lotteries, right? We draw lots. Yeah? 2 lots? 2 goats? Did you guys learn about this? Not yet. Okay, part of the Yom Kippur process, part of the sacrifice of Yom Kippur, we bring 2 goats. They are of equal height, they are of equal value, they are of equal age, they look the same, they were bought hopefully at the same time. And these 2 goats that look the same, we put them both, one to the right and one to the left of the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur. The Kohen Gadol is given a little basket, a little container, and there are two lots in that container. One says Lashem, and one says Lazazel. They were made of the wood called Esh Kiroah, and then one of the Kohanim Gadolim donated them in gold. So the Kohen Gadol sticks his hand in and pulls out two lots, right? One will say, Lashem, this animal is dedicated to Hashem. Another one says, Lazazel, this animal will go out to the jagged cliff. The Sgan is Mimino, his assistant, his top assistant is to his right. He looks at what it says in that lot. If in that lot it says Lashem, he says, raise your right hand. That one says it's for God. So he raises his right hand. They take a red string and they tie it around the throat of the goat that's going to be slaughtered in honor of Hashem on Yom Kippur. They're not choking him, they're just making a sign that that goat is going to be for that sacrifice. And the other goat, they put around its horns a red string, and that's a sign that that goat is going to be taken out to the jagged cliff. When they take it out to the jagged cliff, so they take part of that red string and they hang it up inside the holy, in the Beit HaMikdash. When they will reach the jagged cliff, they will take that string and tie it around the rock. And then when they push the goat off, those strings would turn white. And that was a sign that Hashem had forgiven our transgressions. And then it stopped turning white, which was a sign that Hashem says, nope, I'm not forgiving anymore. So how do we know you're supposed to do this? How do we know you're supposed to tie a red thread around the horns of that goat that's going to be sent out to the desert, to that jagged cliff? Shenemaz, the verse says, if your transgressions will be like red wool, they will turn white like snow, Hashem says. So our sages had a tradition that this wasn't a metaphor, that the verse was telling us a concept. And so they did this. They would hang up a string and they would look at it. And when it turned white, they knew they were forgiven. It stopped at some point. God says, I'm not forgiving anymore. Stop turning white. Okay. So that was point number three. Point number four, says the Mishnah. Does everyone here want their conditioning off? I don't know why it's off, but if you guys want it off, leave it off. I don't, whatever you want. How do we know that on Yom Kippur, you're not supposed to anoint yourself? It's just like drinking on Yom Kippur. We know you're not allowed to eat or drink on Yom Kippur. Are you allowed to smear yourself with creams on Yom Kippur that are just for pleasure? Anointing. How do we know you're not allowed to? Even though the following verse won't prove it, but the verse does give us an indication, because the verse says, Torah will come into a person like he's drinking water, and like oil that benefits a person's bones. So that's, you see, they were compared, anointing oil with drinking water. Yes, sir?
It stops for good, or is it what are changes?
The Talmud sounds like it stopped. Hashem was saying, you don't deserve it anymore. And that it wasn't going to come back. That's what it sounded like.
Was it during the second
temple? Yeah.
Didn't reverse anymore.
Correct. Amar Ravida Bar Ahava taught the following. When did Moshe go up the mountain? What time of day? Midday, night, morning. Says Ravi de Barahava, early in the morning. Bashkamala, he went up early in the morning. How do we know? Because the Pasuk says, Vayashkem Moshe Vaboker, Vayalel al Sinai. Moshe got up early in the morning, went up the mountain. Every time it says Vayashkem, right? Avram gets up early in the morning. They weren't going to the 9 o'clock minyan, right? They were going to the crack of dawn minyan. Vayashkem, Avram Avinu gets up early in the morning. Moshe Rabbeinu gets up early in the morning. So, Vayashkem Moshe Vaboker. Bashkama Yarad, how do we know he'd come back early in the morning? Because the Pasuk says, Lechred ata v'Aaron imach. God tells Moshe, go down from the mountain, you and Aaron, Lechred, go down, ve'alit ata v'Aaron imach. Go down and you'll come back up with Aaron. Why does the Pasuk juxtapose going down with coming back up? To tell us, just like when you come up, it's early in the morning, when you go down, I want it to be early in the morning as well. Okay. Why did the Pasuk have to tell him to go early in the morning? Rav Huna says, what's the point of catching the Jewish people early in the morning? You have the whole day to tell them, don't mate with your wives. because the Jewish people are holy people, and they don't mate during the daytime. During the day, people have to be productive, not reproductive. Right? By day, that was a joke. By day, people have to, you have a job to do, you have things to do. The time for intimacy is in the evening and at night. Couples are supposed to, by day, go out and do what they have to. There's no prohibition. If a couple wants to be together by day, they could put down the blinds, as we discussed last night. They can make the room dark and do whatever they want. But the general approach is, we assume by day you're busy, you have things you have to do. By night is the time to dedicate to family and to being with your wife. So why was it so important that Moshe comes in the morning, early in the morning, and says, guys, that's it, separate from your wives. He has the whole day till people will mate. No one's going to mate until the nighttime. So the Gemara says that's not perfect, because Rava taught that in a dark house you're allowed to be intimate. And that's what we just said. That the idea of not mating has two aspects to it. Number one is, it's considered immodest. She's not going to be comfortable if there's light in the room. So when a couple is intimate, it's supposed to be dark. So the Gemara says that you're not allowed to be intimate when there's light in the room. So the Gemara says, fine, they had good curtains. They can make the room dark. Then there's point number two, which is, generally, at the daytime, you're supposed to be productive. For point number two, that's not a prohibition. It could be you have mitigating circumstances, and that's why it's permissible to be intimate by day. It's not prohibited. So long as you can make the room dark so that your wife is also comfortable, so then it's permissible to be intimate by day as well. It's just not recommended. We assume in a healthy family, by day, the husband goes out and deals with what he has to deal with. Where is this important? I'm going to give you guys a tip for married life. Very often in the first few years of marriage, this happens in the first year when the husband and wife are very busy if they have hectic jobs, and it could happen in the second and third year if they have a baby that drives them up the wall and doesn't let them sleep at night. So there can be situations where the couple never have quality time together to have intimacy calmly at night. Because by the time he comes home from work, she comes home from work, they get the baby quiet, they have no more strength left. So if you're going to tell them intimacy is only for nighttime, by day you have to be productive, not reproductive. So then they're never going to have real quality time together. So very often I tell couples, especially in the summer months, where you have a long Shabbos afternoon, I say, get to bed early Friday night, no one's going to work, no one's coming back late from work. And then Shabbos, after you've had the meal, and then you go and take a nap, and everyone's well rested, you get up 2-3 o'clock Shabbos afternoon. You can have till 7 o'clock till you have to eat Sudash Lishit. Now you have 4 hours. You can have time together in the bedroom. So even though ordinarily our recommendation is the time for intimacy is at nighttime, but there can be circumstances where the couple doesn't have time at night, or by the time they have time, they're both so tired that nothing real is going to happen. You know, they're going to fake it, but they're not going to make it. So that's why there are instances where practically we would recommend make the room dark in the middle of the day and have quality time together. So that's what the Gemara is saying, that Moshe had to come in the morning because even though a couple is not supposed to be intimate by daytime, that's if they can't get the room dark. If they could get the room dark, then it's a question of can they have a productive day and leave their quality time for the nighttime or not. There's one more point here which deserves a long introduction. So we won't go there right now. We'll have to pick up here, Be'ezrat Hashem, next week. The Gemara brings a story. The Gemara says that Abaye and Rava, they were two Kohanim, and Abaye and Rava were both descendants of Eli the Kohen. And Abaye had an extraordinarily beautiful wife. And Abaye's wife had been married to one rabbi and he died. And then she got married to Abaye. And then Abaye died. And then she came to court to Rava. And Rava was supposed to convene on allocating the inheritance of Abaye. And Rava's in the middle of his court proceedings and he looks up and he sees Abaye's widow. He looks up and he says, we'll deal tomorrow. I have to close the court now. He closes the court. He comes home and he tells his wife, let's go to the bedroom and perform the mitzvah. So she says, you never are interested in doing the mitzvah of intimacy by day. What happened? So he says, I was in court and a beautiful woman walked in and I looked up and I saw her. And I said to myself, oh my gosh, I said, I can't deal with this court case. Now, I've just looked at a beautiful woman and I didn't intend to. But I said, if I perceived her beauty, so then I shouldn't leave myself wanting. So I came home and I said, I want to be with you. So it says that Rava's wife took a baseball bat and she went searching for Abaye's wife and said, you killed two rabbis, now you're coming after a third, and she chased her out of town. She said, that's the story that the Gemara brings. But you see the concept that his wife looked at him and said, You know, this isn't the way we run our house. And he told her, part of marriage is that I'm not supposed to think of anyone else. And when I saw for a moment that someone else's beauty took me, I said, I don't want to think about anyone else. I only want to think of you. So I came home to be with you. So that's it gives us a certain perspective on what marriage is supposed to look like, on what a relationship is supposed to look like. So that's where our Gemara touched on. It happens to be last night we had a long class on this topic. This idea that intimacy is for a dark room, intimacy is for the nighttime. But as we discussed, if there are circumstances, then so long as a couple can make the room dark, then they're also entitled to do it by day. And we'll pick up here. Bezachem.